AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz here on Wednesday, January 19th. We had an action-packed first hour of the show. We looked at some 2022 fantasy football either-ors. We took a look at some of the big questions for people who are still alive in their fantasy football postseason contest. Took a look at the action in the NBA last night. If you missed any of that, you can go back and watch that on demand or any OTT platform. Now let's take a look at some of our headlines here on Wednesday. The Memphis Grizzlies at the Milwaukee Bucks. Headlines tonight's 13-game slate. That's right, 13 games. So when Brett Levy and I, our producer, take a look at the NBA tonight for DFS, we're going to have plenty of options. And I also did just see while we were at break that Tyler Herro has been placed in the health and safety protocols for the Miami Heat. So there'll be a little bit of value opening up there. Carlos Correa joins countless other Major League Baseball players in hiring agent Scott Boras to represent him. That will come in handy as Correa, you know, handles free agents here. We have a big game tonight in college basketball. Number 13 LSU is playing at Alabama. Who would have ever thought we would care about a basketball game between LSU and Alabama? And then Louisa Harris passes away at 66, the only woman ever drafted in the NBA. George, Carlos Correa signing with Scott Boras. What does this mean?
Means he wants money and a lot of it. That's what it means, because Boras is, that's what he does, right? Boras is, he's going to get you the most money possible. Boras will have that binder. And literally, that's not a joke. He'll have a binder, but yo big about Carlos Correa, about all his free agents. He does. Boras may come across like a complete idiot, annoying, but he's a smart, smart man and a very good agent for his player. Teams hate him. Owners hate him. GMs hate him. But he's going for the most money. That's what this tells me. Correa is not going back to Houston. He's not going back. He's going wherever the most money. You know, if I offered him a dime more than the Yankees, he's coming to me. That's what going to Boras tells me. He wants money, 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 and more money.
All right. Well, since we're here, we can do a little bit of baseball chatter here, because eventually the season is going to happen, and eventually some of these free agents are going to sign. So Corey Seager declined his qualifying offer. Where do we think Corey Seager goes? I mean, do we think that the Dodgers are just going to try and re-sign him to a mega deal? I mean, the Yankees definitely do need a shortstop. If I was a Major League Baseball GM, you know, front office guy, I would prefer Seager to Correa. I think that's maybe a minority opinion, but I would be looking to give Seager lots of money.
Oh, yeah, this is a big shortstop year, right? Yeah, it was a monster shortstop year. If you needed a shortstop, this was the year, because they were all out there. You know, and as a Yankee fan, it's been kind of annoying that they haven't done that. That being said, Seager's already on Texas, so he already signed with Texas. He already got his big contract. The guy we're waiting for is Trevor Story to see where he's going to end up. So, like I said, go out and get your shortstop this year. If you don't have one, you haven't been trying hard enough, right? Because there's four or five shortstops of different levels here. Correa is the best one that's left, yes. And, you know, for the money he wants, and it's going to be, what did Francisco Lindor get from the Mets? 340? He's going to want 350. He's going to be going for 350 here. There's only about three, four teams that can afford that. You know, you're talking Boston, the Yankees. Boston's not doing it. They got Bogarts. The Yankees, I don't think they're doing it. Dodgers could do it, but they got Trey Turner now. So I don't know where he's going.
Yeah, and of course, we're going to take this time out to welcome everyone who is listening to Fantasy Sports Today on the radio. We're going over some of the headlines here on Wednesday on Fantasy Sports Today and also taking a look at MLB free agency since, we just don't have a ton of Major League Baseball to talk about, but this is quite the crop of free agents, I think. I mean, I think you could field a playoff team with the top 25 free agents out there. I mean, we have Chris Bryant, who is a free agent. We have Trevor Story, by the way, another amazing shortstop who is a free agent. Marcus Semien is a free agent. Now, I think that probably the Toronto Blue Jays would love to have him back considering how amazing he was. And Robbie Ray as well is a free agent. Where do you think Chris Bryant goes? I mean, he's sort of an interesting guy because he was an MVP caliber player not that long ago and really, really faded at the plate.
Marcus Semien also signed with the Rangers, by the way. So the Rangers went bananas this offseason, spending about $500 million on just us here at Semien. Good to have money. Really, it's good to have money. Where does Chris Bryant go? Davis, I think that he's a tougher question because I don't think he's a superstar. I don't. So I don't think he's going to get that big money, but he does. He is versatile, can play third base, can play the outfield, power right-handed bat. Did well with San Fran when he got traded over there. I think in the end, I'm going to say he goes back to San Fran. The Mets, I know, have some interest, so I wouldn't shock me if he goes to the Mets either here. I just don't know if they want to. I think Bryant wants a big payday. I just don't think he's going to be able to get what he thinks he's worth. You know, he's not going to get $300 million. I don't think he gets $200 million. I think he's going to settle somewhere probably about $100, $125, somewhere around there. Giants have the money. I'm going to say the Giants. Stays with the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, it is very interesting. This just got my the baseball part of my brain working because I have consciously left that part of my brain vacant the last couple weeks because there's been no reason. So I am excited to get baseball back. Look, I mean, I very much hope that the MLBPA is able to get what it is they are asking for. Guys, we have a jam-packed hour two of the show. FanDuel NBA DFS with our producer Brett Levy, some of the free agents available at the wide receiver position this offseason and where they might go. Fantasy or reality, the Sports Grid 60. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid. We'll be back in just a moment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, and in this segment, I'm going to be joined by our producer, Brett Levy. We are giving George Kurtz a few minutes off here as we discuss FanDuel NBA DFS night. Absolutely massive slate. We have a 13-game slate taking place tonight. Only a 2-game slate last night. Of course, we have some injuries that we have to deal with. I just mentioned that Tyler Herro entered into the health and safety protocols. Detroit has Frank Jackson, Killian Hayes, and Kelly Olynyk all listed as questionable. The Pacers have Malcolm Brogdon and Jeremy Lamb listed as questionable. Some of the bigger and more interesting games tonight, the Brooklyn Nets without Kevin Durant against the Washington Wizards. That total is 236, rather. Absolutely massive total. Not a ton of defense going to be played in that game. We have the Clippers and the Denver Nuggets as another interesting one. The Kings and the Detroit Pistons. So lots of different ways for us to go, Brett. So why don't we break down your backcourt selections here on FanDuel?
Yeah, for sure, Davis. And you broke down tons and tons of games. I'm going to start off with De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings. The Kings play the Detroit Pistons tonight. Detroit obviously playing on a back-to-back. So I feel like this is a really good spot to take the Kings' fresh legs in this matchup. Davis, I'm also playing Russell Westbrook tonight. I don't think I've ever seen Russell Westbrook at $7,500, so I'm just going to take it and know that he's going to give it his all every minute he's on the court. I know he's going to be in the mix for rebounds and assists and steals and blocks, and you know he's definitely going to get his shots up. So it feels like a pretty strong value play at 7,500. Obviously, if it was priced at 9,000, wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. But with that number, it feels pretty good. Josh Giddey for your Oklahoma City Thunder, Davis, playing tonight against the Spurs. Spurs not particularly good either, Davis, so I think that's a pretty good matchup. And then Coby White, I think he's going to be coming off the bench tonight, but no LaVine opens up a lot of minutes for him. DeMar DeRozan probably going to be playing a lot of four as well. So, you know, DeRozan takes up some wing minutes. They could potentially go a little smaller, play three guards. So Coby White feels like a good play tonight as well at 5,700. The Bulls play Cleveland. Cleveland lacks a little guard depth. Very good with the big men, but struggling right now to stay healthy at the guard position, Davis.
I cannot believe that this is Russell Westbrook's salary on FanDuel. I mean, 7,500, that has got to be about the cheapest that he has. I mean, literally, it's probably got to be the cheapest that his salary has ever been. I don't care how bad he's playing. You know, no Anthony Davis in there. He is going to have, you know, a 32% usage rate. He's going to get his shots. He's going to get his rebounds, his blocks, his steals. So we have to go in that direction. The Oklahoma City Thunder actually have a great matchup tonight here against the Spurs, who are honestly just about as pathetic as the Oklahoma City Thunder here. Basically the same thing. They have a bunch of guys who are not going to be part of their next team, and they have their star young guard, Dejounte Murray. So all good with Josh Giddey there. Coby White, pretty strong play. And De'Aaron Fox, a very strong play for the Sacramento Kings right now. They have some health and safety protocol issues in their backcourt. And De'Aaron Fox is showcasing himself for a trade. He's one of the names that has been floated out there in Miles Turner trades and Ben Simmons trades. Lots of people, I think, are interested in trading in De'Aaron Fox. So I like that narrative as well. Now, so we went through the backcourt. Let's go ahead and take a look at the front court here on FanDuel tonight.
Yeah, no problem at all. So I'm going back to the OKC Thunder. Lu Dort should get about 30 minutes tonight. So in the matchup like this, Davis, where it's a little bit easier on him, I like spending down on him. And this allows me to get James Harden with no Durant. There will be Kyrie, but every question in the last press conference he did was all about his vaccination status. No one really seems too interested in how he's playing. So, look, I think Harden, being a more consistent piece, is going to get the ball in his hand a little more. Yes, they're going to rely on Kyrie a little bit tonight as well without KD in the lineup. But I think down the stretch of games, Davis, they're going to be looking to get the ball to Harden, because he's going to be there for the home games, the away games, all the playoff games. So they need him to be in form. And then Marvin Bagley supposed to return for the Kings tonight. So I kind of like that play, like you said, with all the guys in COVID protocol, some more short shots for the former number two overall pick. Precious Achiuwa starting for the Toronto Raptors most nights. So I kind of like him, although Kem Birch has been taking some starts, so that may cut into his minutes. But Achiuwa's been pretty good over his last three games here, Davis, so I'm kind of just riding a little bit of a hot streak with him as the low-price center. And then Marcus Morris playing pretty well with the Clippers' injury problems. Obviously, the Clippers' two best players being off the court has opened up a lot of these rotation guys' shot attempts and minutes and everything like that. So Marcus Morris, one of the beneficiaries there, although Nick Batum had a career night the other night, Davis, so that was kind of cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, look, we are getting lots of those guys who are randomly showing up with career nights right now because of everything that's going on with guys in, out of the lineups. I mean, the Clippers had, the Clippers have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard out right now. Sometimes, you know, they're just missing all sorts of guys. It really is crazy. Of course, I'm in here on Lu Dort, who is playing more power forward. To give you guys an idea of what James Harden did in his first game without Kevin Durant in the lineup, they actually lost. They got ran out of the building by the Cleveland Cavaliers. He played 40 minutes He shot the ball. He took 15 free throws in that game, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, 22 points. I'm wondering, though, I have a question for you here, because I don't know anything about Kessler Edwards. I don't know anything about Dayron Sharpe. I mean, who do you think is there a guy we should be looking to right now in the Nets rotation who is going to pick up some of that slack that Kevin Durant is leaving, particularly in the games that Kyrie Irving is not playing? Who do you have your eye on in the Nets rotation?
Yeah, well, they're definitely going to look for Cam Thomas to pick up some of the scoring. That's what he does. Davis was a big-time scorer in high school and also at LSU, and you know that's really his skill set, to come off the bench and get some buckets. Kessler Edwards, really good three-point shooter from Pepperdine. Dayron Sharpe, a big from North Carolina. So Dayron Sharpe has played pretty well in his minutes. No Nick Claxton tonight either. I'm not sure what's really going on with LaMarcus Aldridge. He may be back in the lineup, but he was out for a while. Mentioned he was struggling with COVID. So definitely a possibility Dayron Sharpe continues to get some minutes over him as well. But I'm not really targeting any of these guys. You know, they're going to rely on their vets. That's kind of what Brooklyn's going to do. They have the Blake Griffins of the world, the LAs of the world. You know, they bring in DeAndre Bembry in the offseason because they've seen him in the playoffs. So it just feels like I wouldn't target too many young guys, but, you know, Cam Thomas, definitely going to rely on him for a little bit of scoring. During these 4 weeks, KD is out.
Yeah, they certainly are. All right, so I'm just going to run here through some of the other situations that that we need to be monitoring. I mean, one of the big ones is that I've noticed on FanDuel that value centers tend to be something that a lot of people go after. And I think the logic there is pretty obvious. You know, pretty much you throw a big guy out there, 28, 29, 30 minutes, they're going to be able to rack up 30 points the way that FanDuel scoring works, right? You get your rebounds, you get your blocks, you get your steals. So I'm looking here at our projections on dailyroto.com, and I see Nikola Jokic being, I think, just a massive value. Don't think he will end up being that popular. So definitely take a look at Nikola Jokic. Head over to dailyroto.com if you want free NBA DFS projections and optimizing tools. We're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on FST. I will be rejoined by George Kurtz here in just a moment. Stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, rejoined by George Kurtz. Brett Levy and I just went over FanDuel NBA DFS for tonight. If you missed any of that, you can go back and watch that on demand on YouTube or on any OTT platform. We are now going to turn our attention back to the National Football League, and we're going to take a look at some of the free agent wide receivers this upcoming season, and if they are going to return to their teams, franchise tagged, and just try to get a picture of what fantasy football might look like for these three guys. And George, we are going to begin with Chris Godwin, of course, Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver. He is dealing with the torn ACL right now. Pretty bad timing for him to suffer his first big career injury heading into his free agency. Now, he was absolutely tearing it up this season. 98 receptions, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns, including a rushing on 127 targets. To me, I mean, he's got to be the number one available free agent on offense. You know, any team who's serious about winning the Super Bowl, who's serious about scoring some points, they should be signing Chris Godwin. Now, with Antonio Brown going off the deep end, and if Tom Brady is coming back, it's hard for me to imagine him signing off on them letting Chris Godwin walk out the door.
Would agree, especially now that Antonio Brown is certainly not going to be back there. The problem is you mentioned the ACL, right? This is generally 6 to 8 months before you could participate again. And a lot of people tell you, and I've torn my ACL, not fun, by the way, that it's really 2 years before you feel back to normal. So, I mean, how are you know, teams going to approach that free agency? Are they going to be able to, we know you'll be okay in year one. We think you'll be great after that, so we're still going to pay you? I don't know. I can see this being a problem. It is bad timing. He took the franchise tag last year. And he said he was okay with it, right? Because theoretically, if you take the franchise tag year after year, you'll make the most money. So maybe that was his thinking there. But there's a reason why you want to take the long-term contract as soon as you can, so you don't have to worry about stuff like this. I think this is going to be close, you know, well, as far as Tampa Bay bringing him back, because I don't think Tampa Bay is going to give him the long-term deal. So does Guyler want to start, once again, a one-year deal? I don't want to say make good, because we already know he's good. You know, but a one-year, prove everyone he's healthy, go back to the free agency next year, franchised again. I don't think they'll franchise him again. I don't see that. So I think it's going to be very tricky here because of the ACL. I think without the ACL, he was getting big money, $100 million, somewhere around there. And without it, he may need to either take a discount on that in free agency or go back to Tampa for 1 year.
Yeah, I think that he, if that is the scenario, right, if it's franchise tag or a one-year deal, it's very hard for me to imagine him going back or wanting to go back, because I kind of have the sense that there is a team out there who's going to be willing to give him crazy money. So just for example, some of the teams that I would think would be smart to give him a lot of money, the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, Jalen Reagor, Greg Ward, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, you know, they just have no second wide receiver. And they do, you know, Devonta Smith is very good, but he's sort of in a very clear role with that team. Like, I would be surprised if in his career Devonta Smith ever has a 140 target season. I don't really know if, you know, if that is the direction that he would go. I think the Patriots just need some speed. They have absolutely no speed. If the Patriots ran a 53-man relay race against every other team in the NFL, they would finish last. They just have no game-breaking players on offense, and I think that they would be smart to throw, you know, a big bag at him. I think the Colts are another team, and of course, my dream scenario is the Kansas City Chiefs finding a way to sign him, which is actually a good transition, because our next wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, was reportedly offered a one-year, $8 million deal by the Kansas City Chiefs. Last offseason, he decided to return for the Pittsburgh Steelers again. His season was cut short by a shoulder injury, 15 receptions, 129 yards, one touchdown, 28 targets. And he only played 4 weeks, but he actually came back from the shoulder injury and played wildcard weekend. And I will say, George, in terms of value for money, Juju Smith-Schuster would be my number one wide receiving free agent. I mean, I would want him on my team badly if I was a GM. I mean, he was, at age 21 and 22, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
I'll disagree with you wholeheartedly here. He's done nothing in 3 years. What are you paying for here? I mean, you're right, the value could be good, but what are we going for here? Why are we talking about Juju Smith-Schuster like he's someone special? All right, over the last 3 years, you know, he did catch 97 balls in 2020, but that came with 831 yards. It's not even 10 yards a catch. Hell, it's barely 8 yards a catch. Nothing special there. Last couple of years, this year was a bust injury-wise, and 2 years before he was hurt, and he only had 42 for 552. Sorry, I don't think Juju's all that special. I just don't. You know, I think at one time he benefited with Antonio Brown being there. And everyone's worried about Brown. Defenses, cornerbacks, defensive coach, everything's about Brown. Since Brown left, he's done nothing. He's just done nothing. You're right, now he did turn down more money with Kansas City to stay with Pittsburgh, which I found incredibly odd. Because I think he'd have done very well with Kansas City because everyone's worried about Hill. Everyone's worried about Kelsey. No one's paying attention to you. You could have had a big season, assuming you would have stayed healthy there. Now he says he wants to stay in Pittsburgh. Oh, okay. I mean, maybe he really, really likes Pittsburgh. That's what it seems to be. Not even a joke. I think he really, really likes the area, likes the team, the culture, the people, whatever it might be. So, but he's going to have to take a discount again. I mean, who's going to be your quarterback there? We took a Mason Rudolph. You know, they got to bring someone in, a Cousins, Garoppolo. You know, hope that one of the rookie quarterbacks falls to them. You know, so I'm not saying big things for Juju at all here. I'm just not. And if he does want to stay in Pittsburgh, what is it, a one-year deal, two-year deal? I think he could make definitely more money going away from Pittsburgh. There will be a receiver-needy team, including the ones you just named, that could make a go for him, and there are plenty of other teams as well. But I'm not seeing big things for him as a player. He's not someone I'm targeting if I'm the GM of a team.
Yeah, I mean, look, not very often we disagree here, but I am definitely disagreeing. I think, certainly – Juju Smith-Schuster is not as good as we thought he was after his first 2 years. If we remember, after his first two seasons in the NFL, he had 14 touchdowns and 2,500 yards. His 2018 season, at the age of 22, 166 targets, 111 receptions, 1,500 yards, 7 touchdowns. I mean, he was unbelievable. And it's really, you are correct. He's been very average since then. He did score 9 touchdowns in 2020, but was not very efficient, only 6.5 yards per target. One of the things that I would be betting on is that it's not necessarily 100% his fault that he played with a not very good offensive line, certainly not a good quarterback. I mean, look, we all saw Ben Roethlisberger this year just really not be all that good. And I suppose it's sort of interesting that we all have very high hopes for Deontay Johnson. We all think Deontay Johnson is very good. You know, oh, he's so much better than Juju. But Deontay does not have one season as good as the season that Juju Smith-Schuster had when he was 22. And Deontay Johnson came into the NFL at 23. In fact, I don't know if you will believe me on this, but Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster are the same age, which feels crazy considering that Smith-Schuster is about to enter into his sixth season in the NFL. So it is rap. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. Deontay Johnson is older. How funny is that? That Deontay Johnson is older than Smith-Schuster. But I believe in Smith-Schuster. I think the Chiefs should try to sign him again because, you know, relying on Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson, not really getting it done, but we'll see. I think you're probably right. I think he will probably just end up coming back to the Pittsburgh Steelers, regardless of who their quarterback is, but I am not looking forward to that. Our final guy here, I don't really know what to make of Mike Williams at this point. He is a free agent again. Best season of his career, 7,600 receptions, 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns on 129 targets. It's the first time in his career that he was able to have both the touchdowns and the yards. If you go back and look at his second season in the NFL, he scored 11 touchdowns, but had only 700 yards. Then the next year, he had 1,000 yards, but only 2 touchdowns. This year, he finally put it all together, 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, did miss 1 week due to COVID, and also was banged up in the middle of the year as well. He came out early in one game and only played half the snaps in another. But I maybe I'm just irrationally exuberant, but I love all three of these guys. Like, I think all three of these guys are really good and should be highly sought after in the free agency market.
I definitely like Godwin a bunch more than the other two. Mike Williams is inconsistent to me. I sort of don't know what I'm going to get from him week in and week out here. So I think that's what's my problem. He drops a lot of passes as well, or even if you're not counting on his drops, doesn't catch ones he probably should catch as a wide receiver. I also wanted this from the Chargers. I mean, you got Keenan Allen. Yeah, you got Guyton Palmer. They sort of came out at the end of the year. I just wonder if you got to save money somewhere and you're not going to be able to bring him back. I think they'd want to bring him back if they can. But because of what we're talking about here, I mean, you only mentioned a couple of teams. We could go on and probably name 8, 10, 12 teams that could use a wide receiver. So someone's going to pay Mike Williams money. He's going to get paid. And so I don't think he's going back to the Chargers here. Actually, we can go through the same teams over and over again. All right, you mentioned the New England Patriots. God, they could use any one of these guys. All right, they could use anybody, really, a decent playmaker there. The Eagles, because you and I are both on the same page about Devonta Smith. Well, I think the Eagles are probably going to go more the draft route and hope maybe Jameson Williams, who's coming up with his own torn ACL, can last to them at, 15, 18, or 20, whatever their three picks were. So I think they'll hope that he'll drop because of the ACL, which he might do. Originally, I think he was going to be a top 10 pick, so maybe he ends up going top 20 there. So I think Williams will get paid. I just don't think it'll be by the Chargers for cap reasons, not because they don't want him, but for cap reasons.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. They are definitely one of the teams that's going to have to be battling through cap. Though I think free agency might be a little bit easier for some of these teams because the cap went way up this year. I think it went up by like 20, 25 million this year. So teams are certainly going to have more leeway than they would have projected. We are going to go ahead and run into another break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, George and I will be rejoined by Brett Levy for the best show on TV, Fantasy or Reality.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. Before we get into fantasy reality, I need to remind everyone to please be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. Free to download, free to use, no problem. You're going to get all of the injury news that you need, big line movements. You're going to get analysis from all of us here on the network, myself, George Kurtz, Scott Farrell, Ben Stevens, Kevin Walsh, everyone on our amazing network. You're also going to get some content from Radio Row as some members of the Sports Grid gang are heading out to the Super Bowl this year. So don't miss out on any of that. Make sure you're following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. And George, we haven't done the show together yet this week, so we have to commiserate about our Dallas Cowboys. I mean, what an unbelievable failure against the San Francisco 49ers. And you know what? Kellen Moore is interviewing for all these jobs, and you know what I say? Good riddance. Get him out of the building. Get Kellen, get him out of the building. McCarthy, bye. Dan Quinn, go coach the Broncos. I don't care. We need some new blood in the building, because that was embarrassing.
It certainly wasn't good. I think what bothers me most, besides a stupid play call at the end, and then you're trying to defend it. I mean, you got to be kidding me. What bothers me the most is, now you and I were on Pro Football Today in the morning. I did a couple of in-game lines before the show, and I kept saying over and over again, there were five things I thought Dallas couldn't do if they wanted to win the game. And they did all five. And you committed 14 penalties. 14! And listen, I'm the first person to tell you, yeah, I think the Cowboys have been a little screwed by the refs this year. Not so much in that game. I mean, those 14 penalties, the only two I might question were the two neutral zone infractions on Randy Gregory. Yeah, I thought Williams moved first. I did. You can see his left leg twitching. But I think, by the way, he did move first. So in the first quarter, so those were iffy. The others, I mean, Randy Gregory, you're tackling an offensive lineman. Why? Why? He didn't even have the ball. I mean, other than that, you know, Dak was terrible again. Someone has to I could go on and on, by the way, and kill this whole segment. Why is Zeke touching the ball more than Pollard? Anyone got a beat on this? Any had a PCL injury, which they knew about? Why? Zeke is done. He was done before the PCL. He's certainly done now. Pollard is your explosive player, yet you do not get him the ball. You know, I tweeted during the game, before everything went down to hell, you know, Mike McCarthy and time management could be a problem here, something along to those effects. Well, that played to fruition. You know, oh, we practiced the play. Well, did you practice where Dak is supposed to hand the ball to the umpire, not his own center? I mean, it just, you know, everything that could go wrong went wrong in this game. But as I keep saying, what were you expecting, Cowboy fans? This is how every season ends. Every season. Everyone! Since what Parcells? He won't hire a real head coach. He won't hire a real staff. That's why I don't care if he fires McCarthy. I agree with you. They should all go. Maybe not Quinn, but they should all go. But it doesn't matter. He'll just hire the next bunch of saps. It's not going to be anybody worthwhile, so none of this matters.
I mean, it's true. You're right. You're right. It doesn't matter, but it is. It's just incredibly frustrating. So we had to have our little bit to commiserate there. I mean, awful playoff loss. I hope they're all able to move past it. Now let's go ahead and bring Brett Levy in for Fantasy or Reality.
All right. Well, our first question of the day, the Atlantic League has ended their experimenting with the longer mounds and the robot umpires. So, George, we know we're not talking much baseball, but we have a little baseball to talk, so we'll start a bit with you for this one. You want robot umpires in Major League Baseball. George, is this a fantasy or reality?
Oh, I'm not even going to pretend. This is a reality. I can't wait for the robot umps in baseball. I hate the home plate umpire. Hate him. You don't know what you're going to get from this guy. All right, his strike zone can be 16 inches. It can be 26 inches. Is it at the kneecaps? Is it at the ankles? Is it above his head? You just don't know what you're going to get. And I love some of these old school umpires who will give the veteran pitcher, oh, so he has a strike zone the size of a TV box. But the rookie pitcher, it's a cereal box. All right, it's different. The strike zone is different from the first inning to the ninth inning. Drives me insane. I want the same for everybody. I think this will also be good for baseball, by the way, because if the batters know what's going to be called a strike, they'll swing the bat. The games will move faster. They'll move faster. It's what we want. Reminiscing all these, it's hit the black. It didn't hit the black. You don't know what the, like I said, I'm tired of the home plate. I can't tell you how much I hate the home plate umpire. They're all terrible. You'll see strikes. We've seen how many strikes have we seen called? 6-8 inches out of a strike. So we like, what the? Was he paying attention? Did he blink? Is he looking at his phone behind the catcher? What's he doing here? You know, I think umpires were much better in the 70s and 80s because they would have a balloon protector. And they used to stand right over the middle, right over the middle, because they had the balloon. They weren't going to get hit. Now they have to hide behind the catcher because they don't want to get hit. So they're on one side or the other side, you know, and they can't see the outside corner. They're guessing. That's all they're doing is guessing. Sure, it's a strike. Why not? Reality to me. I can't wait for this to happen. And by the way, home plate umpires wouldn't lose their job. They still need to be back there for plays at the plate, check swings and stuff like that. You know, it's just that you're not calling balls and strikes anymore. This can't happen fast enough.
Can't happen fast enough. Total reality. I'm 100% with you. And you know, I think this is true for the NFL. You know, every player should have a chip in their jersey or their shoulder pads or something. The ball should have a chip in it. There should be laser technology on the goal line to determine if the ball is crossed. They're also, by the way, this would have to be very easy in baseball too to have a laser guided strike zone, right? Like this would not actually be hard. There's no arguing balls and strikes. You don't have some of the things that catchers do to manipulate balls and strikes. I mean, I guess that does suck a little bit of the romance, leaves the game or whatever. But yeah, 100%. Robot umps for balls and strikes, all the way in on that. That is a reality for me, Brett.
All right. Well, turning over to the NHL, Davis, your Colorado Avalanche are leading the Western Conference standings right now, but Nate MacKinnon has been in and out of the lineup all season long. They've played a little hot and cold as well. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. The Colorado Avalanche will win the Western Conference. Is this a fantasy or reality? And by this, we mean go to the Stanley Cup Finals.
That is interesting that you would frame it that way, because basically what has happened is, just like all of my teams, you know, basically the Colorado Avalanche have become very similar to the Dallas Cowboys in that they're a very good regular season team. You know, last year they were first in the Western Conference. The year before they were second. They have this incredible team. You know, they have amazing skaters. The goalie situation is fine, but you know, Kadri, Rantanen, MacKinnon, Makar, Landeskog. I mean, that is about as good of a top five as you're going to get. Makar is amazing on the power play. MacKinnon and Landeskog, I mean, in terms of, you know, they're not household names because of the way hockey goes. Like, no one knows those guys as much as you would know Crosby or Ovechkin. But the fact that those two guys are on the same team. And I also, another interesting thing about the Avalanche is that Nathan MacKinnon is on the big sweetheart contract for the team in terms of salary cap, very similar to the old Steph Curry deal in basketball because of, injury stuff earlier in his career. So I'm going to say reality, but I'm pretty used to these guys, letting me down at this point, George.
Colorado Avalanche, you're talking about a star-studded team. You said it reminds you of the Cowboys. I would say not this generation's Cowboys. I might go back to the 70s Cowboys, where they were always getting to the championship game but couldn't get over the hump. Right, that's what I might compare them to as far as that Cowboy team. You're talking about a Colorado team. That top line of Landeskog, MacKinnon, Rantanen, if it's not the best line in hockey, it's damn close. You want to tell me Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand? Okay, but you know, Bergeron's not the player he used to be. You know, so I think I would still go this line. When Drysdale and McDavid are together, okay, that's a conversation. But yeah, they generally don't play on the same line together. They're on separate lines here. Listen, there's nothing for this team to prove. The second line, Burakovsky, Kadri, he's going to make it 116 points on pace for this year. And whoever they put on right wing, that's a good line. You mentioned Makar. He's as close to, Paul Coffey that we're going to see here. I mean, this guy is dynamic talent here. The goaltending, you said, the goaltending's more than good if Kemper can stay healthy. That's always the issue with Kemper. Good goalie, his availability, not always there. Colorado has nothing to prove during the regular season. We know they're a great team. Right now, they're the leading team team point total in the Western Conference, and they have games in hand on everybody. I'm talking, they've only played 36 games. I mean, because they had COVID problems, they had a lot of games canceled. So they're going to win that conference as far as points easily. I don't see anybody in that division that can stop them. St. Louis, Nashville, Minnesota, Winnipeg. No, you're not up there with Colorado. The Vegas Golden Knights are interesting. That's their bugaboo. They lost to the Golden Knights last year, right? That's why they didn't go to the finals. So that's where I would be worried about. Colorado versus Vegas. Vegas added Jack Eichel. But I think this is Colorado's year. I think they at least get the Stanley Cup before they have to worry about one of the teams probably out of the Atlantic Division. Toronto, May, Florida, Tampa Bay, two-time Stanley Cup division champions. This is a reality for me. Colorado going to get the Stanley Cup.
It's okay, George. I know you really wanted to say New York Rangers, but your Islander bias just wouldn't let the words come out of your mouth.
Yeah, I say Islanders either.
Our next question is about Bono and you two, because Bono gave an interview the other day where he said he's not a fan of the band name U2. He just doesn't think it's that good of a name and they could have done better. So, George, U2 rolls right off the tongue, so we'll say it. U2 is a good band name. George, is this a fantasy or reality?
So Bono doesn't like his band name. They could have done better. You're a gazillionaire. What do you worry about your band name for? Why do you care about it now? What was this band around 30, 40 years? Now you're worried about the name? U2, is it a good name? Sure. I don't have a problem with it. Never even thought about it. About it being a bad name. It's not the most inventive name on the planet. Right? Could they have done better? Yeah, probably. But does anybody truly care? I mean, I'm a U2 fan. I enjoy the music. I do. You know, I saw them concert forever ago. So, I think it's a good band name. Is it one of the best? No, certainly not one of the best. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of band names that are better out there, but I don't have an issue with it. I never did. Never even thought that, oh, that's not a good name here. Well, that's too easy. Really? Who came out with that? Your child, you know, your two-year-old, whatever. No, I have no problem with it. Reality, it's a good band name.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's good. It's catchy. You remember it. You like you too. Like, oh yeah, that's clever. I get it. This feels dumb. Like, what is this to complain about? There are way worse band names. George, I always ask this when we're talking about band names. How old were you when you realized that the Beatles is a pun? When did you realize that the band name the Beatles is a pun?
Oh, this wasn't very long ago. Maybe 10 years ago. not very long at all. And I'm a Beatles fan. I'm not a huge fan. I prefer the Stones over the Beatles, but I like Beatles. My wife's a big Beatles fan. So I like the Beatles, but no, not long. When I say 10 years, by the way, it may not even be that.
Isn't that funny? Like, I don't think I realized it until 2 or 3 years ago. I probably saw someone tweet like, oh my gosh, I just realized it's a pun. If you've never realized it, go look at it. Google the Beatles. And just think about it for half a second, and you'll see why it's a pun. It's very stupid. It's not even a good pun, but it is just very funny to realize that. Everyone, we are going to run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, George and I will be getting out of here with the Sports Grid 60. See you then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We're going to go ahead and wrap up our show, as we always do, with the Sports Grid 60.
All right, so Davis and I are Cowboy fans, which if you don't know, you're not really paying attention to. And I was talking about him during the break. I asked him if he saw the picture, which you can find on really social media, of Trent Williams, the left tackle for the San Francisco 49ers. As he's walking off the field a Sunday after the Niners beat the Cowboys, he's going down the tunnel. And I guess Cowboy fans are, you know, they're giving him the business, to put it nicely. You know, they're giving him the finger. Like, they're all tough. All right, you saw Trent Williams in on the street. I mean, yes, sir. How you doing, sir? This man could, boom, hit me, and I'd be a nail going into the ground. Yeah, what they're all doing, I think they're all tough. And he's just sitting there, he's walking by laughing at him, just laughing at him. Yeah, we won. You're going home. It's a great picture to find here. And the point of this is, I never understand why fans do that. Like, you're all big tough because you're in behind the, you know, behind bars and stands where the, you know, the player's not going to go away after you. But good for Trent Williams, though, he handled it great. I'm going on, guys. You're going home.
There we go. I mean, of course, I'm with you. You know, getting mad at the players, like, whatever, after the game's never good. Don't do it. Don't. And the throwing the stuff at the refs or whatever, and Dak's comments afterhand, it's like, whatever. The people who should be getting all the blame for that Cowboys loss are Mike McCarthy, Kellen Moore, Dan Quinn, and honestly, Dak, too. I mean, Dak did play like a rookie quarterback in that game. My Sports Grid 60-day, very simple. Do you guys remember Trey Sermon? Do you remember Trey Sermon? He was drafted in the third round of the NFL draft, top 100 pick, was going in the sixth, seventh round of fantasy drafts. People were drafting Mostert and Sermon. It's just so funny. I mean, for everything that Kyle Shanahan does, it feels like the guy can't draft a running back to save his life. Remember Joe Williams? I hope Trey Sermon doesn't go the way of old Mr. Joe Williams. Thank you to Brett. Thank you to my co's, George. Thank you to everyone over at LTN. Everyone have a great day. We'll see you back bright and early tomorrow.